reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Please be seated.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered,
"Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him,
"Go wash in the pool of Siloam,"
which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said,
"I am."
So they said to him, "How are your eyes opened?" He replied,
"The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see."
And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said,
"I don't know."
So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them,
"He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see."
So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said,
"He is a prophet."
Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son, you who say he was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied,
"If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see."
So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them,
"I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?"
They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them,
"This is what is so amazing. that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything.
They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said,
"Do you believe in the Son of Man?"
He answered and said,
"Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?"
Jesus said to him,
"You have seen him. The one speaking with you is him."
He said,
"I do believe, Lord."
And he worshiped him. Then Jesus said,
"I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind."
Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them,
"If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see.' So your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. Last Sunday, we remember the encounter of Jesus with the Samaritan woman, a woman considered to be outside the people of God, Israel. The Jews considered the Samaritans to be their enemies. She was a woman, and it was not usual for a strange man and a woman to have a conversation. And she had a history. Today, we remember the encounter between Jesus and a blind man, a Jewish man, but yet considered to be a sinner because he was blind. Or there were some question marks about whether it's his sin or the sin of his parents because he was born blind. And both the blind man and the Samaritan woman, because of that encounter, have a conversion and come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah. Although they're two different stories with two different locations and characters, but really it's the same process for conversion, the same plan for our conversion, the conversion of the elect who are with us and preparing to receive the Easter sacraments. It's about a conversion to come to believe who Jesus is. That's what our faith is all about. That's what we will be baptized in on Holy Saturday. That's what we were baptized in and grew to come to understand and hopefully to proclaim that Jesus is truly the Lord, the Son of God. Our faith is not a faith in a church, because every church is a human church. It's not perfect. Our faith is not in finding the right community for me, because it's a welcoming community, as welcoming as Holy Family is. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. He is the Savior. He is the one who gave his life for us on the cross. Have we gotten to that faith? Let's see the process that this blind man went through. First, we see that this person had trust. I mean, imagine if you're blind and there's this stranger who you don't know and he's now touching your eyes. Let's say he doesn't know how Jesus made the clay. But I think your reaction is to step back. I mean, who's this touching me? But he doesn't. He stands there. And then Jesus tells him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. He doesn't say, well, like, why? Who are you? We're told he goes. That's not faith yet. That's trust. He trusted this man who's trying to heal him. The other thing is important, both stories, is Jesus is the one who reaches out to the Samaritan woman. He starts the conversation with her. He's the one who approaches the blind man. The blind man didn't even ask Jesus to open his eyes. Jesus reaches out to them as he reaches out to each one of us. And unless we have that trust to allow Jesus to work in our lives, to guide us, and us to follow his guidance, for us to remain in that conversation with him, then nothing would happen. The woman didn't like much what Jesus was trying to tell her. But she remained, she engaged, she kept engaged with him. The blind man did what Jesus told him, although it doesn't make much sense. He didn't know why. That's the trust that we need to have in Jesus so we can reach the point where the Samaritan woman and the blind man came to. So when the blind man asked, well, who opened your eyes? He says, this man, Jesus. I don't know, stranger. But then the second time, after more questioning, and that's good because questioning helps us to kind of deepen our faith and begin to ask ourselves those questions. He says, he is a prophet. But that's not enough. It's not enough to believe that Jesus is a prophet because there are many prophets. It's not enough to believe Jesus is just a healer. There are many healers. That he is a teacher, a rabbi, a wise person. There are many of those. And we see how the blind man was led to the last step of his conversion. And again, Jesus reaches out to him. When almost the blind man, you can say, hit rock bottom, he was thrown out from the community. Now that he can't see, he's not blind anymore, there's no reason for him not to be a part of the community. They threw him out, and Jesus comes to him and asks him, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he says, still, it's not that deep faith. He hasn't figured it all out for himself. He said, who is he, sir? Show me. And Jesus said, you are looking at him. And he believes. He worships Jesus. That's our journey. We might not have that same encounter, but no matter what encounter we had with Jesus, Jesus wants us to lead us to this point. Who do you say? Who do I say Jesus is? And unless we get to the belief and the faith that Jesus is God in flesh, in human flesh, then we're still in that process. We're still not ready yet. And Jesus is still working with us and give us opportunity after opportunity to come to believe so we can be saved. Now, along this journey, there's obstacles. Obstacles sometimes that prevent us from coming to this point, the point of faith, the point of conversion. And one of those obstacles is really what starts the whole encounter. The disciples asking Jesus, whose sin is this that this man was born blind? See, at the time of Jesus, most of the Jewish people did not believe in life after death. The Pharisees did, but the Sanhedrin, the chief priests, all of them, they did not believe in life after death. So their whole concept was, if you're a good person, God will reward you in this life because there is nothing else. And if you are a bad person, that God will punish you in this life. So if you were sick, if you were poor, if you couldn't have children, that means that you are a sinner and God is punishing you. But if you were rich and if you lived a long life and had many children and you were healthy, then that means God is blessing you because you're good. And that's the dilemma with the man born blind. He was born this way, so it couldn't be, it's his sin. And today we still struggle with that same question. Why bad things happen to good people? Why would a man be born blind? Why there is people dying in Ukraine? Don't you think there's many people asking the same question of God? Why are you doing this to us? Why are you killing our husbands, our brothers, our fathers? Why are we becoming refugees? 5 million people had to be displaced. I think many of them asking this question, why God? And the argument goes that if God is all good, then God should stop this, because this is not good. And if he's not stopping it, that means God is not all-powerful. And then why should we believe in him? Either he's not all good or he's not all powerful. But God is all good and all powerful. And we see this in this encounter, that he took on human flesh to become one like us so he can correct the evil of this world. God never wills someone to suffer. This is against the nature of God. An all-good God does not will that somebody to suffer, whether it's because he wants to teach them a lesson or so they can be more patient or because they can get a reward later on. God never wills the suffering of any person. There is evil in the world because there's people who don't live in the light. There's people who do not obey Jesus, the light of the world. That's why there is evil in the world. Not because people are compassionate and kind and generous and forgiving and loving. Because it's the opposite. They still live in the darkness of selfishness and putting myself ahead. And Jesus came to change that, to show us that if we follow the light and live as children of the light, we will conquer that darkness. Even if it might cost us our life, and next Sunday we're here, what would happen then? God never wills anyone to suffer. He wants us to live life to the fullest. He wants us to open our eyes and live in the light of compassion, mercy, kindness, forgiveness, generosity, sharing. The other obstacle that sometimes prevents us from this is, again, what we see the blind man kind of coming to as he enters into this questioning and this conversation with the Pharisees and the other people. You know, people today say science and faith don't go together. Faith doesn't make sense. Well, the blind man points out what's common sense. He says, look, I was blind, now I can see. Fact. Look, you teach and you believe that God doesn't listen to sinners. If someone is a sinner and asks something from God, God's not gonna give him answer his prayer or her prayer. Only God listens to good people. And that man opened my eyes. How can he be a sinner? Logic, common sense, which if science is all about. If we look into it, if we really have a scientific mind and apply scientific methods and understanding to our faith, you'll find that it makes sense. It's logical. It follows from who God is, not follows from us. But if we look at God and see and believe who God is, then we see how everything else falls in place. Sometimes that prevents us from having the faith in Jesus and who Jesus is. Each one of us has a story of encounter with Christ, whether we are aware of it or not. And maybe sometimes we're not aware of it because we don't question it and nobody else challenges us in helping us to open our eyes and see how God has been working in our lives. What's your story of encountering Christ? Do you see those different steps that the Samaritan woman, that the blind man went through? Are you at the point where you see Jesus as a prophet among many other prophets? Or you have come to believe that he is truly the light of the world, the Son of God? That's what this journey of Lent is meant for us, is to help us affirm, to remember our story, to share our story, to examine our lives like the people were examining the blind man. Who did this to you? How did it happen? Are you the same person? We need to look at our lives and ask those questions, because it helps us renew our faith and deepen our belief and opens our eyes to what God has given to us, a Savior. Because the last obstacle that we see in the gospel is with the Pharisees. They thought they know it all. They see, they're not blind. They close their hearts and their minds to the proof that was in front of them. This man was blind and he can see. And still, they would not believe. Let us ask God to soften our hearts and our minds, to look around us and see how God is working in this life, to see the blessings, the miracles, the healings despite the suffering and the pain that people endure, to see God working in your own life and how he's been opening your eyes. So one day, you too can share your story. And we'll be hearing about how God encountered the Samaritan woman, the blind man, John at Holy Family, Mary, Sam, and all of us. All of us have a story. And at Easter, we'll be called to go out and proclaim the story, the power of our God, who is all good and all powerful.